We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
You know, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul told Timothy to put the brethren in remembrance. And I think sometimes we do a great disservice because we begin to think, well, everybody knows that. That's basic. Everyone is aware of these things. But sometimes we need to put the brethren in remembrance. We need to cover these basic and first principle things many times over. Today we're going to be studying the question, can we all see the Bible alike? Can we all see the Bible alike? You know, oftentimes in talking to people about the gospel, I've gotten a response like this. The person will say, well, that's your interpretation. And I think that everyone who has spent any time talking to people about the Bible have gotten a response like that. And oftentimes, I believe the reason people say that is they are seeking to justify themselves. Maybe you've pointed out some passage that doesn't agree with the way they're living. And so rather than changing, rather than conforming their lives to the Bible, it's easier to say, well, that's your interpretation. And I think that sometimes people make that statement to salve their conscience. That is, they know the truth, and knowing the truth, that could really eat at them. But if they can convince themselves that it's just a matter of interpretation, then they salve their conscience, and they feel better about it, and they can live with it. When I was preaching in Statesville, North Carolina, I was corresponding with a local preacher there from the Grace Covenant Church, from a denomination there in town, and I had written to him about some of the essential elements of the New Testament church, about the plan of salvation and about the sin of religious division. And he wrote back and he responded to me something like this. He said, if we were dependent on how accurately we interpreted every point of Scripture, then all of us would be in danger of salvation. And then he said, I trust wholly in the grace of God. Now, folks, I want you to think about this statement because his statement has several implications. Number one, he says if we have to understand the points of the Bible, then we're in danger. We're all in danger of losing our salvation. His first implication is that we can't properly interpret the Bible. The second implication is, why even bother? And the third implication is it doesn't really matter anyway because the grace of God's going to cover us whether we understand the Bible or not. And I want to tell you, that is very common thinking. And that is the type of thinking that is at the root of this statement. That's your interpretation. The idea that we can't understand the Bible alike. And so I want us to discuss that question today. Can we understand the Bible alike? Now let me say before we even begin to discuss it, that's really not the way we ought to phrase the question. Because if one person understands the Bible and someone else understands it differently, then they both don't actually understand the Bible. If one man understands it and someone understands it differently, then the second man actually misunderstands the Bible. Now, here's the first point in the lesson today. It is that man can see the Bible alike. Men can see the Bible alike. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Lord said we can know the truth. We can understand the Bible alike, despite what your denominational friends may say to you that you can't, that it's all a matter of interpretation. I want to suggest to you that when someone tells you, well, it's just a matter of interpretation, we can't understand the Bible alike, I want to suggest you bring up this passage. That Jesus said, and you shall know the truth. We can know the truth, but not only can we know the truth, Jesus said we must know the truth if we're going to be free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, my freedom from sin is dependent upon me knowing the truth. It is dependent upon me understanding the Bible properly. And John 12 and 48, Jesus said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, folks, I want you to imagine with me the implications of this statement. If God is going to judge us according to His Word, He's going to hold us accountable according to His Word, and yet we can't understand it. Think about the implications of that. Friends, I cannot fathom a God who is going to give us a book by which we are going to be judged and then not give us the ability to understand it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a God of love. That's not the God of the Bible. And when you talk to someone and they tell you, well, that's your interpretation, we can't understand the Bible alike, ask them about that passage. Ask them how it is that a God of love is going to judge us according to a book that we cannot understand. that He is going to sentence me eternally based upon a book that I can't understand in the first place. And folks, if one interpretation is just as good as another, what's the point of judging us from a book anyway? What's the point of getting out a book that's going to be the standard if one interpretation is just as good as another? Folks, not only does the Bible say that we can understand the Bible alike, it also says we must understand the Bible alike. And indeed, point number three, it commands us to understand the Bible alike. We can, we must, and we're commanded to do so. Now, in the Scripture reading this morning, 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 10, I want you to look at that with me. Let's consider this together. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 10. I have never in my life heard a denominational person who could justify their doctrine in light of this passage. Now, let's read it. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Now, think about that. Paul says, I command you, I'm begging you, you've got to speak the same thing in the church. Now, how is it that Paul could say we must speak the same thing if one interpretation is just as good as another? How can we be commanded to speak the same thing if we can't understand the Bible alike anyway? Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Folks, the Lord commands us in this passage to see the Bible alike. He says we can do it, we must do it if we're going to be saved, and He says, indeed, I am commanding you to do so. And you know those people who teach that one church is just as good as another and one interpretation is just as good as another? I wonder what they do with this passage. In fact, I told you I was corresponding with this preacher from the Grace Covenant Church that I referenced a few minutes ago. And I asked him about this passage. He said, you know, it doesn't matter and we can't understand the Bible alike. The grace of God's going to cover us. And I said, what about 1 Corinthians 1, 10 and following? You know what he responded? You know how he responded? He didn't. He didn't address it. He simply said, I wholly trust in the grace of God. But folks, I want to tell you something. God's grace is not for those who do not obey Him. You know, the Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. God's grace has appeared unto all men. Why is it then that not all men are saved by the grace of God? You see, God's grace has appeared to all men, but not all men are going to be saved by His grace, because the Bible teaches only those who understand God's will and obey it are going to be saved. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, the Lord says on the day of judgment that Christ is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we'll be covered by grace when we obey the gospel, when we understand it, and when we obey it. We can understand the Bible alike. We must understand the Bible alike. We're commanded to understand the Bible alike. And in fact, the Lord says it's going to be bad news for those who don't. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul wrote, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. If any man preach any other gospel, if you have a different understanding and you preach it that way, the Bible says, let you be accursed. When a person goes out here and he understands the gospel differently, and then he goes out and witnesses, I don't think that's a Bible term for us to use today, but some people use it. He understands the gospel differently, and then he goes out and witnesses to other people that different gospel. The grace of God is not going to cover him, despite what a denominational preacher is going to tell you. The Lord said, you will be cursed to hell if you understand the gospel differently and you preach it. That something that is different from the truth. Friends, not only can we understand the Bible alike, not only must we, not only are we commanded to do so, not only is it the case that the Lord said it's going to be bad news for those who do not, but number five, it's been done before. Men have understood the Bible alike in the past. You know, God's Word, if you go back to the beginning of the New or the Old Testament even, God has given men various commandments. God told Noah to build an ark, and apparently Noah understood that. And apparently his sons understood it as well. They understood it alike. What if Noah had said, God told us to build an ark, and He gave us specific instructions. But what if his sons had said, "You know, Dad, we understand this differently. We understand that He said go for wood, but, you know, He didn't say make it all go for wood. And so we've got a little different understanding than you do, so that's going to be okay." And what if they had followed that? What do you think would have happened? You know, Moses was given a pattern to build the ark and to build the tabernacle. And apparently he understood it. And apparently all of those people who did the work understood it. It was very, very detailed instructions. 22,000 understood God's word when it came to how the Midianites were going to be dealt with in Judges chapter 7 and verse 3. 3,000 people understood the gospel alike on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The early Christians understood the gospel alike. Acts 4 and verse 32 says, "The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul." Folks, I want to ask, why is it that people in the first century could understand the Bible alike, but folks today think that we can't do it? Now that leads to the next major point, the next question. And that is the reasons why people don't understand the Bible alike. I want to suggest to you several reasons why people don't understand the Bible alike. Number one, the first reason people don't understand the Bible is because they don't want to. Now you might say, "Oh, come on. That's the reason. They don't want to." For some people, accepting the truth would require them to make some major changes in their life. Maybe they've got a job that's not really appropriate for a Christian, and so they don't understand the Bible. Maybe they have a hobby that they would have to give up. Maybe it would put them in some uncomfortable situations. Maybe their friends would think that they're weird. Maybe their family would be at odds with them if they understood and obeyed the truth. Maybe they'd have to get rid of some old prejudices and some old thinking. Maybe they'd have to change the way they've been living. Maybe they'd have to make some sacrifices. You know, when a person is baptized into Christ and they become a Christian, the Bible says you've got to give as you've prospered. That's going to be a financial sacrifice involved. When a person becomes a Christian, he's got to attend as the Lord has specified when the doors are open. That involves a time sacrifice. And so for some people, it's easier, rather than to submit to the truth, it's easier to just ignore it and say, "Well, I see it differently." That's your interpretation. And for some people, acknowledging the truth means acknowledging that they are lost. They don't want to do that. And so it's easier to say, "That's your interpretation." Number two, a second reason that some people don't understand the Bible alike has to do with the general attitude that people have toward the Bible. Think about this. The attitude of the infidel. The infidel approaches the Bible as a book to be scorned. Thomas Paine said about the Bible, "Whenever we read the obscene stories, the voluptuous debaucheries, the cruel and torturous executions, the unrelenting vindictiveness with which more than half of the Bible is filled, it would be more consistent that we call it the word of a demon than the word of God. It is a history of wickedness that has served to corrupt and brutalize mankind. For my part, I sincerely detest it as I detest everything that is cruel." And so you see, the infidel is going to view the Bible as an instrument of cruelty rather than an instrument of redemption. And so his attitude is going to keep him from understanding the Bible. And then there are those who have the attitude of the specialist approach. This would be the attitude taken by people in a specific field who approach the Bible only to see it through the eyes of that specific field. An astronomer might approach the Bible only to see what kind of information it has relating to the field of astronomy. Maybe there's a person who's a historian and he reads the Bible, but not to seek out the truth, just for the historical information. Maybe a geographer or a mathematician go to the Bible all looking for accurate data according to their field, and they're amazed by what they find, but that's all they want from it. You see, they're looking at the Bible through the eyes of their perspective science, when the correct attitude is to look at science through the eyes of the Bible. And you've got some people who have the attitude of a proof texter. These are people who read the Bible so that they can find verses in order to argue with their friends, or in order to argue with the priest. They've already made up their mind what their view is on some specific passage, not because they've studied it, but they've concluded, "This is what I believe, this is what I feel," and so they'll go to the Bible just to find material for ammunition. And they don't have the right attitude. And then you've got the literalist approach toward the Scripture. That is, they take everything in the Bible at face value, literally. They leave no room for that which is poetical, that which is prophetic, that which is allegorical, that which is figurative. To them, heaven literally has streets of physical gold. To them, Satan is a literal dragon. You see, that's where you get thinking like transubstantiation, that the body of Christ literally turned into flesh and blood when we partake of the Lord's Supper. That's where you get ideas like premillennialism and some of the things involved with that. Well, it has to do with the way people approach the Bible. Some people don't understand the Bible because they don't want to. Some people don't understand it because of the attitude with which they approach it. Number three, some people don't understand the Bible because they're simply following their parents. You know, many has been the person who has said, I am a Roman Catholic because my mother was a Roman Catholic. And men and women every day believe a certain way or act a certain way or approach the Bible a certain way just because their parents did. But you know, Jesus said, he that loveth father or daughter, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10 and 37. Some people don't understand the Bible because of, number four, the creeds of men. Many people have been taught creeds. They've been taught out of creed books since the time that they were little children. And it is ingrained in them. And they don't know what is creed and what's Bible. And oftentimes, they usually don't know the difference. But friends, all creeds are different. And so as long as men follow creeds, they're never going to see the Bible alike. Let me give you some examples here. For example, the Standard Manual for Baptist Churches, pages 80 and 81, says, baptism is the immersion, dipping, or burying in water, and the dipping in water of a professed disciple of Christ is that one baptism. Now, that's the Baptist manual. The Discipline of the Methodist Church says on page 470, let every adult person and the parents of every child to be baptized have the choice of sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. Now, one creed book says baptism is immersion only. The other creed book says it can be sprinkling, pouring, immersion, whichever one, it doesn't make any difference. You see, as long as men hold to creeds, they're not going to understand the Bible alike. And you know, a lot of people put their faith, a lot of people don't understand the Bible because they put their faith in the preacher rather than in the Bible. And so when the preacher says something as a certain way, they just accept that as truth. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, the preacher's been called by God, and so they believe anything he tells them. I had someone tell me one time she attended a church where they had a female pastor, and they told me that she was called by God. And so what she says is the truth. First, God doesn't call men to preach in the sense she's talking about. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14 that all men are called by the gospel, but God is not in a miraculous way today calling men to preach. Secondly, God has warned us specifically to listen to the words of every preacher and to check them, investigate them. 1 John 4 and verse 1, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He said, if someone is teaching you or something or preaching to you, you investigate it. Don't just accept it because someone who claims to be a preacher said it. Number five, another reason people don't understand the Bible alike is prejudice. That is, I interpret the Bible a certain way because of what I like or because of what I dislike. You know, I like instrumental music. And so anything that I read in the Bible, I'm going to seek to use that to interpret that which I like, which is instrumental music. And some people aren't, they're not really digging for an answer. They're not really looking for what pleases God. They're looking for what it is to justify their likes and their dislikes. I'm never going to understand the Bible if I interpret it that way. A last reason people don't understand the Bible alike is because they're not rightly dividing the Word of God. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now, what does that mean? When a person rightly divides the Word, he understands what is Old Testament and what is New Testament. He understands what was said to specific persons and what is said to us today. He doesn't take things out of their proper context. But a lot of people in the religious world don't understand the Bible properly because they have not mastered this principle. You know, a lot of people today teach tithing because they don't understand what was part of the law of Moses and they don't understand what's part of the law of Christ. People who seek to justify instrumental music, they will always go to the Old Testament. Why? because there's no authority for it in the New Testament. They can't find it anywhere. So they go to the Old Testament. They turn to a law that Colossians 2:14 says has been nailed to the cross. They're not rightly dividing the word of truth. Now here's the last point. If we can understand the Bible alike, and we must understand the Bible alike, and the Lord commands us to understand the Bible alike, and He says it's going to be bad news for those who don't understand the Bible alike, how do I do it? How do we understand the Bible alike? Here's the first point. This is going to sound really simple, but here's the first point. You want to understand the Bible? The first thing you do is read it. You know, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4 says this. Listen how simple this is. Whereby when you read, you may understand. The Bible says that. Whereby when you read, you may understand. I know that sounds simple, but some people don't do that. Many people don't understand the Bible because they don't read it. They sit in the pews week after week and they just take the word of the preacher. And perhaps even worse than that, some people never even crack their Bible. Some people just go along with whatever they feel. All things religious are interpreted in light of their feelings. Maybe a bit of scripture sprinkled here and there that they heard someone say or they learned as a child, or maybe a verse they've read from time to time. But it's generally interpreted in light of their feelings. Ladies and gentlemen, understanding the Bible begins with reading the Bible. And I don't mean just reading it like you would any other book. I mean studying it. I mean truly, diligently searching the Scriptures. And you know, the promise is to those who seek that they will find. But all too often, people in their search prematurely because Satan has handed them a counterfeit and they just stop searching. You've got to search the Scriptures. You've got to weigh the evidence. You've got to answer the arguments. Oftentimes, I have studied with people in the denominational world about the subject of baptism, and they could not answer the questions that I posed them about the necessity of baptism. They said, you don't have to do it. And I said, well, what about this passage? And they couldn't answer it. But they remained in that doctrine anyway. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's not an honest person. Because a true seeker is not going to be satisfied with a doctrine that he cannot prove. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things. Put them to the test. If it doesn't hold up, then you give it up. You want to understand the Bible? First, you've got to read it. You want to understand the Bible? Number two, you need to accept the Bible as the complete and total standard. Because after all, Jesus said on the day of judgment, there's only going to be one standard by which you will be measured, and it's going to be that. You know, some people disagree religiously because they don't accept the Bible as the final word on the matter. One time I received a letter from a prisoner, a man in jail, and he was doing a Bible correspondence course. And he wrote something in his course. I want to just read it to you. He said, or I'll summarize it for you. He wrote that the Holy Spirit tells us when to go beyond the written word. Now, what was he saying? He was saying the Bible is not our final authority. He said, sometimes, you know, I'll hear a little voice, or I'll have a feeling, or I'll have a nudge, or something like that. And that tells me when to go beyond the written word. You see, a person never going to understand the Bible alike if he does not accept that as a standard. He says, I accept it as a standard most of the time, but when I need to go beyond it, the Holy Spirit will nudge me to do that. Folks, if a man doesn't accept the Bible as the complete and final authority, he's never going to understand the Bible properly. Number one, you've got to read it. Number two, you've got to accept it as the final authority. Number three, this might be the key here. You've got to have a heart that is willing to accept what it teaches. That means remove all prejudices. That means forget what all men have told you. It means get rid of the creeds. It means not rejecting something just because it's hard on me. Sometimes people hear something and they say, oh, I can't accept that. You know what the implications of that would be? I'm not going to accept that. You've got to get rid of the things, the prejudices that would stop you from accepting the Word of God. And number four, you have got to let the Bible interpret itself. When I find a passage in the Bible, what I need to do is go to its mate, go to a parallel passage. I need to consider everything that the Bible has to say about a specific subject. How many times has a person chosen one verse on a subject and ignored all the others and let that one verse be the final word on the matter? How many times have people looked at John 3 and verse 16, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish? And they say, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe because of John 3:16. But they ignore Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. How many times have people looked at John 3:16 while ignoring John 3:36? You see, it more fully explains that passage. We've got to let the Bible interpret itself and look at all that the Bible has to say about a subject. Dear friends, the Bible teaches that we can understand the Bible alike. And indeed, we must understand it alike. Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth." Not one version of the truth, not your interpretation of the truth, but you can know the truth. And that truth will make you free. Now, a person may say, "Well, that's your interpretation," or "Nobody can understand the Bible alike," or whatever else they want to say. But God still says we can understand it, and we are going to be judged by it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word teaches that a man, if he's going to have eternal salvation, he must hear and believe the gospel. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." That a man must repent. Acts 2:38, Peter said to those on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Then a man must confess his faith in Christ, as did the eunuch in Acts 8:37, when he said, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then a man must be baptized in order to have his sins washed away by the blood of Christ. We're told by Peter in 1 Peter 3:20-21, "The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." The question for you is, are you going to obey it? Are you going to submit to the truth of God?